So I wanted to give you just a quick update. Is on Christmas Eve, we took a special offering where 100% of all the money taken in was going to two organizations. One local, which was Best Christmas Ever, which is a local organization, nonprofit that goes and blesses families who are in need at no fault of their own. And they get, someone shows up at the door, actually like 10 people show up at the door with a lot of presents, a lot of practical gifts, things that the family needs. And I got the honor to be a part of several of them. It is awesome. And then the other half goes to Preemptive Love, which is our international organization that works and goes to where people are stricken under, we're refugees at no fault of their own as well. And they go and set up camp and establish community and medical response and just noticing the people who are down and out and lifting them back up to a place where they can experience a quality life. And the announcement is that we raised just under $4,000 in one night. So I just want to say thank you. That's awesome. So that means $2,000 to each. And I just wanted to say thank you to this community. I never want to stop saying this, that you guys are so incredibly, incredibly generous. And not just through your money, very generous with your finances, but with your time, with your energy, with your prayers, with your support, with your inviting other people. People are just giving so incredibly well here. And you know what? That's really what it's all about, is that we want to give God our absolute best. Absolute best. You know, one thing we talk about is we take an offering where we might, some people call it a tithe, where you give like a 10%, right? And really, the biblical response to this is giving like the first fruits, the best of what we have first to God, and then everything else. And it's not just finances, but we want to give the best of our relationship, the best of our heart, the best of our mind, the best of our emotions as first to God and then to each other. And if you're, when we do that, you experience God. And one way you can experience God is you see good fruit. And we have some incredibly good fruit happening. We've had over 15 people make a commitment to follow Jesus in 8 weeks. We have people that are experiencing healing. There's people that have experienced hope. I talked to one gentleman when he walked in. I said, hey, how was your experience? And he goes, I haven't been to church like in 12 or 13 years. The church I was a part of, they wouldn't let me come back of some life circumstances. I didn't think I'd ever be able to experience something like this ever again. And the grown, big guy, huge guy, right? And he's just like tearing up in the lobby. I'm like, hey, are you okay? And he said, this is a place where I get to experience Jesus. There is good things happening. So thank you for being generous. Thank you for continuing to give. All right, we are starting a brand new series. Actually, we're starting not just a new series, we're starting a brand new theme for the entire year, 2016. And you might be thinking, well, what was our theme for like 2015? And it was this, plant a church, right? And we did, that was the theme. And now 2016, our whole theme is going to be centered around one question. Around one question, and it's this, how healthy do you want to be? That's a great question. You know, in January, a lot of people take opportunity to do an exercise that is powerful and life-giving, and that's to dream, have a big dream of, like, what's next? First, like, I'd encourage you to celebrate what happened in 2015. You know, so often we can, like, put our head down and just go, 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 that we don't even notice and celebrate and thank God for all the things that happened in 2015. But then we want to have big dreams. Of like, okay, God, what do you have for me in my relationships? What do you have for me with my family, maybe my business, my health? And so, like, for the whole year, we want to do that as a community, not just individuals, but as a church. Well, how healthy do we want to be? And, you know, if asked that, like, I said, hey, David, how healthy do you want to be? You might, well, I don't know, healthy enough, right? I'm not dead, right? It sounds like I'm doing Pledge of Allegiance. I want to do Pledge of Allegiance every day, and I'm still alive. So, you know, I'm doing pretty good. But really, a great way to answer this question is to kind of go the opposite of, well, what are you tolerating? In your life, what do you tolerate? Like, as you walk through your bedroom, what do you tolerate? Like, that pile of dirty laundry that just never, ever leaves, it's just always there? Like, what about, like, in your relationships, what are you tolerating? You know, I've talked to people, they're like, I really don't even really like my friends. I'm always stressed out when I'm around them. That might be, you might want to redefine what friendship is if all you're doing is stressed, right? Like, that would be something you might want to set a goal for. Financially, what do you tolerate financially? Maybe it's that debt, maybe it's that those spending practices that you just can't really break out of. What about emotionally? What do you tolerate emotionally? Like, what keeps you up at night? Like, what wakes up at 3 in the morning again and again and again? What is stressing you out? Like, physically, what do you tolerate? Is it the 10, 15, 20, 30 pounds? Is it stamina? Do you want to just be able to, like, walk up the steps and, like, not have to breathe heavy? Right? Like, there's all sorts of things that we tolerate in our life. And so what do we do with that? Of how healthy do you want to be? We call that New Year's resolutions. Who's made a New Year's resolution? One person. All right, we got two. All right. Me as well, all right? Like, we will respond around January, and millions and millions and millions of people make these New Year's resolutions. And they're like, all right, I'm going to go take control of the world. And, well, maybe not that. I'm going to take control of my health. And, you know, I'm a member at the YMCA, and I just know at January, I'm not going to be able to find a treadmill. It's just going to be packed. And I'm just, for doing this for the last several years, I know I just have to make it through what? February, right? I mean, make it through February, things kind of like even out. And why is that? Why is it like around January we get inspired and we're like, I'm going to make changes and I'm going to save money, I'm going to lose weight, and I'm going to like not swear at the dog. That's a good one, all right? I'm going to do it. Brand new me. And then all of a sudden you walk by and you're like, hey, there's 3 bags of Cheetos. Those are my friends, right? All of a sudden, Jack's Pizza sound a little bit better. Watching like Netflix for a couple, 13, 14 hours sounds a little bit better than getting up and having Annie yell at you at the YMCA. Right? Get those knees up. Like, ah! Right? Getting yelled at by strangers is not something you always love, right? And so you fade out. So why? What's the common problem? The common problem is me. Like, not just me. I'm like not the problem to why us strangers yell here, right? But it's us. We are the common problem, because really for a lot of us, not everyone, but when it comes to making New Year's resolutions, we have great ideas. Great ideas. And the great ideas turn into, okay, I'm going to try harder. And how does trying harder usually work? Not doing it. Because we're running at 1,000 miles per hour already. So then say, okay, I'm just going to do more. I'm going to do more. Well, you can only sustain that for so long. So then what are we supposed to do? Is there no hope? Is that the title of this message today? There is no hope, just give up, right? No. Here's the thing. Like, the theme verse for the whole year is Philippians 4:13. I can do all things in Christ, right? That's the important part. Not the all things. I can do all things in Christ who gives me strength. You see, John 5, Jesus talks about how there's this beautiful God who's always at work. He's working all the time. He never stops working. That means in this world, he's always working. In Carlton County, he's always working. Like, in this room, he's working. And in you, he's always at work. And Jesus says, my Father loves to show us. He's a big fan of showing us what he's doing. See, God has a beautiful plan, a beautiful dream, a beautiful vision for you. Not just someone else, but you. And he wants to reveal to us what he's doing. He's inviting us through his Spirit. He's inviting us into this good and beautiful life. And we can do all these things, not just some of them. We can do all these things if we are connected to the source, if we are in Christ. And he's the one who activates it. Now, if we partner with God in what he's doing, and that's really throughout the whole year, we're going to be highlighting how healthy could we be. Like in September, we're going to do a whole series on how do we be politically engaged. It's going to be awesome. It might not be the way you think it will be, but it's awesome, right? We're going to be going through the whole book of Galatians. We're going to be talking about even like our sexuality, how healthy, what would it look like as a teenager, as a single person, as a married person, as someone who's older? What does a healthy sexuality really look like? How healthy do you want to be? And when we engage with God in that, then we don't have to say, oh man, I just have to add to the list of I have to try harder with Jesus, I have to try harder in my finances. No, then we can listen to the Holy Spirit and we can respond to God. And we could trust that he's gonna put in us what we need to be able to say no to our friend Cheeto, right? He's gonna give us what we need to be able to invest in our marriage when we feel like giving up. We could trust that he's gonna give us what we need to build some discipline in the way we spend money. Then it's not just about me, but it's about how good God is, that he's a good, good father, and who I am is I am loved. And he wants that good life for us. And so where we start? Where we start today is spirituality. How healthy do you want to be spiritually? Because, you know, everything is touching. It's not like we're like our life's made up of buckets. Like our spirituality, and then our friendships, and then our finances, and then our emotional health, and our mental health. Like all of it is touching. And I believe at the core of who we are, right, is that we are spiritual people. And if we can connect with Jesus, you know, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things in Christ who gives me strength. If I can be connected to Jesus, then my spirituality is touching every other part of my life. Have you noticed that sometimes it's hard to like to work on like your emotional health or maybe even your mental health if like physically you're just a mess? That if spiritually you're just a hot mess and then you're trying to like invest in your marriage, sometimes those don't always like go well together. I think the most important thing we can do is invest in our relationship with Jesus, going back to him again and again. So today what we're going to look at is then how do we grow spiritually? How do we, even like answering the question, why? Why should we grow? And really, my goal is this. My goal is, this is not a shame message of why aren't you growing, point the finger. But it's, what would it look like to grow? What would it look like to be have a healthy, dynamic relationship with Jesus? And really, it's possible. There's people here, you feel like, no, not for me. Too far gone. I've already passed that point. I'm just here for coffee. And that's great. I'm glad you're here for coffee. But there is a good God who wants good things for you. So I'm going to pray, and then we're going to be reading out of 2 Peter. And 2 Peter is a great book of the Bible. If you want to grab a Bible, you can. It is okay. Lightning will not strike you if I'm praying and you get up to grab a Bible. That is okay, right? And you can grab a Bible. You can grab it on your smartphone, reading out of 2 Peter. And as you're finding out, please join me as I pray. So, Jesus, we just say thank you that you're a good Father. And that who we are, that we are loved. And that what you want for us out of John 10:10, you want us to experience a life to the fullest. Not just later, but now. And as we talk about what it looks like to grow in our spirituality, to grow in our understanding, to grow in our relationship and our intimacy with God, that can seem like a foreign concept to some of us here, having a friendship with God. Holy Spirit, will you come? And I pray that you would activate that growth in us, that you are the strength, that we can do all things, not just some of these things. All the things you're inviting us into, as we're connected to you, you're the one who will give us what we need to sustain, to be encouraged and to champion. And we love you. Amen. Amen. All right, so reading out of 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 11, and I'm going to read it and you can follow along. Starting verse 3. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption of the world caused by all desires. Let me just pause there. If you back up, so through them you may participate in the divine nature, that God's inviting us into this divine life. Not just an average, normal, mundane life, but something incredibly beautiful, something incredibly sacred. Verse 5, for this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election, for if you do these things, you will never stumble, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So where we start is this. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life. Verse 3. So every single thing you need to experience that good and beautiful life, everything you need to experience that divine kind of life, we find in Jesus. It's right here. You know, it's easy to think, oh, you know, like where I can experience that good and beautiful life is in the next job. No, the better life is like at the next relationship. It's at like the next drink. It's at the next party. It's at the next church. It's at the next series of friends. It's at like the next fad diet. It's easy to always just look ahead and say, no, it's somewhere else. It's somewhere else. It's somewhere else. And what we see throughout the life of Jesus says over and over and over again, the kingdom of God is at hand. It's within reach. In order to experience this good and beautiful life, it's not somewhere else. It's right here. It's right now. And that's an important truth. That you don't have to just like get to a certain point where you get the best of God. You get the best of God now. Every single thing we need is right there within us. But then it goes on to verse 5, so they make every effort to add to your faith. You see, following Jesus isn't just like kicking back, Once you, like, you, what do people call it? Like, born again, saved, washed in the blood, maybe some other creepy Christian words that we don't use, right? Don't, like, have you been washed in the blood? I hope not. I hope not. Hope my parents made good decisions when I was a kid to not be washed in blood, mostly water and soap, right? You know, the words that we use here is like sharing life with Jesus, rendering your life to Jesus. John 3:3 is where we get the idea of being born again, right? That means I have surrendered my life to Jesus, where he gets to be in control of absolutely everything. And when you do that, right, isn't it like you kick your feet up and, you know, you like watch the world go by and they say, hey, do you want to work on your self-control? No, I'm good. Jesus, he's my homeboy. We're good, right? Hey, do you want to, you know, work on your gentleness? Nah, don't need it. Jesus, born again, right here, this guy, right? Hey, do you want to work like on the way that you love your neighbor and you feed the poor? Nah, Jesus, I'm good. Eternal salvation. You go for it, buddy. That's not how it works. It talks about how to make every effort, that there is this partnership, there's this way that we engage, this way that we work hand in hand with God. He's the one who comes, and what the word, a big church word, is sanctify us. It's through his Spirit that we are made new. But then we work with him step by step. Christmas, the weekend after Christmas, talked about there's a long obedience in the same direction of step by step with Jesus, saying yes to him again and again and again. So there's this whole idea of growth in our spirituality is that there is action. There's this call to action. But then he says, for if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, verse 8, in increasing measure, there isn't this line where you say, well, you know, I worked on my relationship enough. I've arrived. Give yourself a little slap on the back, right? Oh, I have worked on my marriage, worked on my friendships enough. I've reached the point. He says, if you work in increasing measure, how much is enough? Just a little bit more. That we are called to continually grow in our relationship, our understanding, our intimacy with the person of Jesus. We never stop. And actually what he says, that if you do this, right, then you're not going to be nearsighted and blind of the reality of who Jesus is. As we continue to grow, as we continue to engage with God, make every effort, that we work hard. And it's not that we work hard is what leads us to like get saved or to have life with Jesus. No, it's not because of works. It's because of how good God is. But we get to respond to who he is. We get to respond to what he's inviting us into. So growth isn't just sitting back, but growth is this partnership with God, partnership with the Holy Spirit, and moving forward. But why? Why? Why grow? Why should we grow? Because there's this kind of myth when we talk about, you know, another church word we use, it's called discipleship, which really means just to be a student, that we are students of Jesus. We want to look more and more like our teacher. We want to look more and more like the person of Jesus, that the Vineyard wants to be a Jesus-looking people, and we want to be a Jesus-looking church and a Jesus-looking people. So discipleship, then, is a little bit different. C.S. Lewis, a book called Mere Christianity. If you've never read Mere Christianity and you're looking for a book that just talks about what does it mean to be a follower of Jesus, I'd put this on your reading list for 2016. It's outstanding. And one of the chapters, it says, decent people or new man? Decent people or new man? Are we supposed to just be really nice people? Is that what following Jesus is like? Because imagine that there's this scale. It's easy to think this way. Zero being like the nastiest, just, you know, that kind of person's over here, right? And 10 being like the most perfect, most beautiful, just has it all together person, like Nikki. Like Nikki's here, Chris is here, right? So 10, 0. And it's easy to think, we can say, oh, you know, the people who are like 8, 9s, and 10s, those are decent people. Maybe 7s if they smile nice, right? And then there's everyone else. And the people over here, like the 3s and the 4s, these are people who just like are crude. They don't have it all together. You know, the way they talk about like their family might not be really positive. They might not like be able to hold on a job. And we all will define who the other people are based on like where we are in our life and like our economics and even socially. You say, oh, those people, and we can define who they are. But then there's decent people. Oh, decent people. Man, those 9s. They have like a good family. They might even be fairly religious. They could hold the conversation. They like love classical music, right? They like they can listen. That was funny. You like they laugh. They're like, oh, no one likes that, right? They like are like on the PTA. They're on a board. They can just they're like socially engaged people. And we'd all agree that those are like decent people. So let's say you're after church and you're out in the lobby and someone walks up to you and they tap you and say, I want to share life with Jesus. I just surrendered my life to Jesus. And you turn around and you see a 3. And you're like, whoa, I'm really happy for you, but really, you really haven't really begun to follow Jesus because you got to look like this. We need to be like moving up more towards a 7 or 8. You know, the places you hang out, the way you spend your money, the way you talk, the way you swear at the dog, all right? You know, you really can't be a Christian until you're up here, right? And we might not say it. We might not write it down, but you might think it of saying, you're a follower of Jesus? Well, why do you wear that? I saw you walk into that place. Why do you watch those kind of movies? And we do what? We can easily judge people. But you know the difference between like a 3 and a 9? Because, you know, being a decent person doesn't mean you're a follower of Jesus. Not at all. But it's easy to equate that. Did you know the difference between a 9 and a 3? Is that their sins is just the respectability of their sins. That's the only difference. You might be able to look at a 3 and the way that they maybe talk about their wife, you'd say, whoa, buddy, tone it down. She might be listening, right? And that wouldn't be positive. But a 9, they might be like the most stingy person in the whole world. They might be incredibly racist. They just know how to talk about it in a way that's socially acceptable. They might just like have like the worst bent attitude towards their kids, just tolerating their kids. They might like just not drink a ton. They just drink enough for you not to notice. Just the respectability, the sociability of their sins. You know what the truth is? Every single one of us in this room, all the people who are listening on this podcast, we are in the same boat. We are busted up, broken people. And just because we might have our lives, might look like we have it together, doesn't mean that we have it together. See, there's like the whole idea of growth. The whole idea of growth is that you get to be right where you are in that moment, and God's inviting you into more. You see, I'd love to have the 0s, 1s, 2s, 3s, 4s, 5s, 6s. I want them here. You know why? Because they have the freedom to be them. And there is this good God who is crazy about those people. And they have a place here at the Cloquet Vineyard to grow into what it looks like to have a relationship with Jesus. So easy, we keep people out saying, no, you're them. You're over there. You have to be one of us. And when you're one of us, then you get the best. You can have the best right now. I'll take the 3s. Because they can grow. And again, the growth isn't just to move up from a 3 to 4 to 5. That would be a very positive thing. I want them to learn what it looks like to spend their money. I want to show them what it looks like, how to hold down a job. I want to show these people what it looks like to really love their dog. Right? But the goal isn't to have a 9. See, there's another dimension. If there's a scale, then there's this depth in the kingdom of God. And the 9 could be right here. And that 3 could just take one more step towards Jesus. And that's who I want. I want to see people experience the kingdom of God that transforms their character, that transforms their life, that transforms their friendships, that transforms their entire life so they become more and more and more like the person of Jesus. And that is what discipleship looks like, my friends. Looking more like Jesus, not a decent person. Does that make sense? That's my heart. And I want the 9s too. Right? I want the 9s and the 10s. But our goal isn't to be decent people. Our goal is to look like Jesus. And you have permission here, regardless if you're a 0 or you're a 10. Nikki, you have permission, right? You have permission to grow. You have permission to fail. You have permission to doubt. You don't need my permission, but I'm trying to give you a freedom. You have freedom to figure out what life with Jesus looks like. That is what it is. We do it together. That's what growth is. So it's not just about looking decent, but looking more and more like Jesus. And you know what will happen as we become more and more a Jesus-looking person? Those things, the way we spend our money, the places we go and we spend our time and our energy, those become transformed. But we need a place where we can figure it out. And the place is with Jesus, and that place is here. So then I'm going to give you like 5 tips, or not tips, I'm going to give you 5 like glances at what growth might look like then. So we can kind of get on the same page of what spiritual growth might look like. The first one is this. Growth is possible. It is possible. There's people that say, and I talk to people all the time about this. They're saying, yeah, Chris, you know, I think God likes me. I think God tolerates me. And if I die, I think like I could probably just like leap over those pearly gates and fall in. And God look at me and say, well, all right, come on in. Right? But outside of that, God's not going to give me his best. There's not going to be healing for my knees. There's not going to be real, like, transformational hope for me to change. Because, Chris, for decades and decades, I've been a horrible father. I've been, like, a tolerant mother. I've been a bad friend. So, and that to some people, that might sound humble. Like, wow, you know, it's really bad. But here, you know what it is? It's a lie. Really what it is, it's arrogance. When we do that, it's arrogant. Because what we're saying is, hey, Jesus, could you, like, get back up on the cross? Do you mind? Because, like, the way you died for, like, and you bring freedom and hope to all the people, it only went this far. And I'm, like, right here. So can you just get back up on there one more time and maybe, like, that will go extend a little bit further? That's not how it works. Now, there's some of us in this room where you experience incredible, deep, horrible pain. Some of the people here, you cause that deep, horrible pain to other people. Hear this. Growth is possible. Freedom, healing, the best of God is possible right now. You don't have to count ourselves out. We do that as a way to self-protect. What would it look like? How healthy do you want to be? What would it look like if we could begin to repent? What would it look like if we just began just to talk about what's been done to us? What if we actually engaged with God of saying, God, this is so hard. Growth is possible. The second thing is this, that growth is absolutely necessary. Growth is not an option. You know, every single one of us, we are becoming, today we're making decisions to become someone tomorrow. The difference is, are you becoming the person you want to be on purpose? We're all growing. We're all leading. We're all going somewhere. As a disciple, it's just, are we going to do it on person with Jesus? And you might say, well, you know, Chris, like this whole like growth thing and like small group and this whole idea of like, oh, God, you're good, good father. That's for people who like just really, really love Jesus. I'm a fan of Jesus. I like Jesus. But small group, no, that's not for me. You know, throughout the Bible, Jesus doesn't say, well, if you think about it, he goes, if you follow me, pick up your cross. Are you willing to die to yourself again and again and again and again? This transformational growth in our character, this transformational growth in like the way that we love the poor. Because if you guys read, I don't even have a Bible up here. I'm the worst pastor ever, right? If you read the Bible, there is this radical push towards noticing the down and out and the poor in practical ways. And I say, no, that's for other people. Those are for really holy people. No, it's not. It's for us. It's for us. So growth is not an option. The next one is that growth is gradual. This is the hardest one. Growth is gradual. You know, as red-blooded Americans, we want the best of everything. We want every birthday party, every anniversary, every date night, every Vikings game, and it's true tonight. All right, we want every like Facebook post. We want every vacation just to be like out of control. It was awesome, right? We want it to be huge and big all the time. It's like your honeymoon phase in, when you're married. Honeymoon, it's awesome. Big fan of honeymoons, right? And there's a time for that and where you have, like, well, there's people in the room. There's very good things about honeymoons, and you can talk to parents later about what that might be, all right? So there's deep, deep love. And I've met people where they try sustaining that honeymoon phase for years. Saying, well, no, if we don't love each other like this, if we don't laugh at each other's jokes all the time, if we're not excited to see each other, like, oh my gosh, you came home, you know, trying to wipe the tears away, right? That's not what marriage is it? That's incredibly important. But you know what a great marriage is? Because it's easy to say yes in the honeymoon time. It's being able to say yes when you don't want to say yes. Ephesians 5 is all about this whole, the best chapters about marriage is all about willing to submit yourself and give love to your spouse again and again and again and again. So when you do that after you've been married maybe 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, when you're willing to lay down and give love to the person even though you just can't stand them right now, when you go through that crisis and you lay down your life and say, I will give you love. As you go through incredibly hard financial times, you say, I'm still going to choose love. There is no back door. We're not heading out that door. I say yes to you. It's in that where you experience a love that is so much deeper, so much more rich than just the honeymoon kind of love. Because you're creating a depth day after day by saying yes so that when you hit those crises, when you hit the financial times, when you hit like you want to run like out that back door, there's something that sustains you. And the same is true as a follower of Jesus. We want the huge transformational experiences with God. We want to say, God, I just give you this addiction. I give you this life-controlling habit. And we want to say, now it's gone. And then you, 5 minutes later, you find yourself thinking about the same thing again. You're like, oh, God, why? It is incremental growth. That's what life with Jesus looks like. I have a friend, and his name is Jim. And he's around here somewhere. Jim. I love talking with Jim. And Jim has no idea that I'm talking about this. Jim is a guy who, when I think of someone who's like mature in their faith, I think of Jim. And anyone that you talk to, they say, no, I'm really mature. You know that they're not, right? If you could like self-identify, I'm the most mature person in the world, you're like, talk to someone else. Every time I talk to Jim, you know what Jim's telling me about? He's saying, Chris, I just want to know what it means to be loved by God more. I want to know more. And the guy knows this Bible inside and out. He talks about like these classic Christian authors, and he consumes and he goes back again and again to the word of saying, I want to know what it means to be a child of God. Day after day after day, I know that Jim's reading his Bible. I know that Jim is spending time with Jesus because he's looking, having the end in mind. I know I'll never arrive, I'll never hit it, but I'm keep pressing on. And when you have incremental growth, when you say yes to Jesus, regardless if it's the high time or the low time, then when you hit those dry times, because you know what? It's going to happen. There's going to be a time when you feel like God doesn't answer you back. There's going to be a time where you don't feel like really like engaging God with worship. There's going to be plenty of times the idea of going to small group is not going to be the top of your list. I'm like, yes, yeah, small group. You're like, oh, small group. But even then, if we are saying yes to Jesus, we are creating this depth. So that when we hit those places, we can say to God, I say yes to you. I may not feel it, but I know you're a good father, and I am loved. So, if you have a pen, if you have something you can write down with, I'd like you to write down, if you are taking notes, if you're one of the three people, I applaud you, all right? Is I want you to write down this. Celebrate incremental growth. Celebrate incremental growth. We want to celebrate just like the big times. We just want to celebrate like the big, huge moments in our marriage or in our friendships or with our kids or at work or in our relationship with Jesus. But what about those times of when you said no to the Cheetos? What about the time where you were able to like, instead of like freaking out on your kid for not putting their shoes on, right? Where you had peace, you had patience. In those moments, it's incredibly powerful to just pause and say, God, thank you. I recognize that was your spirit in me. Celebrate incremental growth. So growth is gradual. Growth is gradual. Having the end in mind is a beautiful thing. And the second to last one, we have two more, is that growth is organic. Growth is organic. You can't just fabricate growth. You can't just manipulate it and say, all right, I'm going to just like be a better follower of Jesus. I'm going to love him more. So you just, ooh, I love you more, God. It doesn't work that way. It's like this, right? I am not a gardener at all, but I know people who are. And so that makes me a gardener, right? I'm a gardener by association. And I know a little bit about gardening that you can't just fake growth. What can you do? All you can do is set up those plants. All you can set up those flowers is for success. Like they're going to grow on its own. They're going to be healthy if you set them up for success. How do you set them up for success? You get good soil, clean water, and they need a little bit of light, or so I'm told, right? So we can all agree that's how you do it. But how you go about what kind of soil by is going to vary from gardener to gardener. Of where you plant them in your yard so they get different kinds of light is going to vary from person to person. How you water them. Do you sing to your plants? What plants do you put next to each other so they become friends? You know, what kind of music do you have around the house? Is it like REO Speedwagon because you get it to speed up? I just thought of that on the fly. It wasn't funny. So, all right, it's going to vary from person to person of how you do it, but you can't fake it. In the same way, as followers of Jesus, how healthy do you want to be spiritually? You just can't make it up. All you can do is set yourself up for success. There's some fundamental things that we learn through the Bible that sets us up, that brings the soil, that brings the water and the light. The first one is this, is like consuming God's word. Consuming God's word, just knowing it inside and out, day after day after day. And how we go about doing that is going to look different for every single person. Not every person is going to get up at 5 in the morning and read for an hour. It might be putting on like an audiobook of the Bible while you're doing dishes. It might be while you're going out for a run and listening to a message from Chris Sauter. You're welcome, right? But as long as you're getting God's word in your heart, in your soul. The second one is spending time with Jesus every single day. And for some people, it might be, man, there's a lady I know, her name's Lynn Granson, and that woman can pray. She prays till the cows come home, right? She just nonstop is praying. I try doing that, and I fall asleep, right? She gets up every morning and prays. But praying for you, spending time with Jesus, might look different. It might be, for me, honestly, I found like something I experience God's pleasure in is running. I was surprised that when I run, I experience like the glory of God. I'm able to like to meditate. I'm able to think through of what God is speaking to me and me singing back to him what I know to be true. For you, it might be going for a walk. For you, it might just being quiet and just meditating on the peace of Christ. Will it rule and reign in my heart and sing it over and over and over again? And the third one is this, and this is one that we kind of, we don't always put as much emphasis on, and that's community. Spending time with people. You know, discipleship, the road of discipleship is through the person of Jesus and it's through community. That's the whole idea here of loving God and loving people. You can't have one without the other. The more we love God, the more it prompts us to love people. And the more we love people, engage and notice and reach out and spend time and create friends and meet practical needs, it leads us to love God even more. And that's why we do small group. You know, if you go to small group, it's not all of a sudden you're like, your life's going to be transformed in 1 second, walking like, oh, now I'm perfect, right? But we do it because this is a place where you can have relationships, where you can make friends. As I engage with people and I talk, well, what are your friendships like? Do you guys pray together? Say that again. Pray during the Vikings game? I don't think so, right? Do you have friends that ask you, like, how your intimacy with Jesus is going? Do you have friends that, like, challenge you and say, hey, you could be a better husband, you can be a better sister, you can be a better employee, you can be a better boss? Do you have people that ask you, like, what have you heard from God lately? What can we celebrate? When I even talk to couples who are married, they're like, well, no, we just don't do that, Chris. Why not? Why not? See, small group is a place where you can meet those kind of friends. You can meet those people. They hear you're going to hear me say this 1,000 times. Hear your story. Know your name. Challenge you and encourage you and champion you. Why? Because they want good things in your life because God wants good things in your life. So we just make it really convenient. That's why we do small groups. Make it easy for you to have friends. Sharing life with Jesus, sharing life with each other. So consuming his word, spending time with Jesus every day, and being in community is setting yourself up for success in that organic growth. And this is where I end. This is where I end, is that growth is noticeable. Growth is noticeable. Now, I could go one way and say, and if you don't see growth in your life, you don't have godliness, and you don't have peace, and you don't have gentleness, you don't have self-control, then get out of here, right? I'm not saying that, by the way, right? But that's sometimes what it feels like. If I can't notice it, then you're failing. That's not it. But there is a part of us that, like Chris Sauter, when I read this, self-control, God, what does self-control look like? Because there's times I lack self-control a lot. There's times where I can make a compromise saying, it doesn't really matter. Let's just do it. And I read that, I'm like, oh yeah, God wants a good life for me. All right, Jesus, what does self-control look like again? I'm re-signing up. Holy Spirit, will you come? Jesus, I want to grow more and more like a person of Jesus. Do you notice change in your life? Have you ever even like evaluated your life? Have you taken the time just like slow down and say, well, what does gentleness really look like for me? But here's why I love small group again, or community. Because I don't notice. Sometimes we're the worst like evaluators of how we're growing. Because it's so easy just to get down saying, I'm just a deadbeat dad. I'm just a horrible wife. I'm just the worst friend. I'm just like the worst follower of Jesus. I have a buddy where I will just be honest with him. I'll say this to him. He goes, Chris, you're not a deadbeat dad. That's a lie. Look how you've grown and boom, boom, say this. And even now, it's like that. When people will speak truth to us, it's so life-giving. When you have friendships where they can celebrate with you, where they can notice the growth in you, that's what friendship is about, sharing life with one another. You should be able to notice change. And instead of it being a threat, it's an opportunity to go back to God again. Say, God, I know you want gentleness in my life. Come, Holy Spirit, will you come? So there is a place for you to grow. God has a good and beautiful life for you. How healthy do you want to be in your relationship with Jesus? So I'm going to invite you to stand, and we're going to pray. So I'm just going to pray, and I'm going to ask God's Holy Spirit, which really is God's tangible, felt presence. And when we say Holy Spirit come, we don't believe, I say this often just to remind us, we don't believe that he's like somewhere else. It's a way for us to acknowledge and say, God, I receive you again. Come close to me. And as I pray, I might pray some things, might say some things that you might feel like are true, are real for you. And just as I pray, just receive that. And when I'm done, I'm going to take a little bit of time to invite some people to respond, what we call ministry time, where we pray for one another, because that's what the church is. We're the church. We're the people. And we want to share life with each other, and we want good things for each other. And so we pray for one another. So let's start. Let's just pray. Please pray with me. So Holy Spirit, will you come? And we welcome you again. And we just say as a community, we say as friends, we say as a family, we say as men, and we say as women, God, we want to grow. We want to grow in every area of our life. And I know, Jesus, we can't do that apart from you. Yeah, some of us, some people here, you're just sick and tired of the trying harder. I just get a picture of like the slumped down shoulders. And you're exhausted and you're tired. God, I pray that the truth of we can do all things when we're in Christ. And will you give us the strength? So right now, for those like my friends here who just feel exhausted and tired, God, will you give them strength just right now? Fill them up. Everything we need is found in the person of Jesus. Not later, not somewhere else, but right now. We receive that truth, God. Come. And then, Jesus, I ask right now, you help us just dream big. Just dream, just big as like a Vineyard community. As followers of Jesus in like Carlton County, God, give us a huge dream of what you're doing. Show us what you're doing in this community. God, will you, we say yes to that. We want to do what you're doing. We don't want to just be a nice, decent church that does nice things. God, we want to go where you're going. We want to love the people you're loving. Will you use us? Use our stories. Use our hands. Use like our generosity. Use our dreams to love people, God. And I pray for like families and individuals. God, will you give them big dreams of what it looks like to love you? Yeah. Give us what we need, Jesus. So here's what I'd like to do. I'm going to invite our ministry team. These are people who have been trained just how to like notice you and like in a practical, simple way, pray with you. They're not going to do anything weird. They're not going to like start shaking you. There's going to be no tambourines coming on your head, right? Nothing like that. They just want good things to happen in your life. And there is, I wrote down, there's three things that I'm inviting you, and if you choose, you can respond to them coming up and talking to people, letting them pray for you, or you can respond if you want, just between you and Jesus. But for myself, I've learned in my experience, my life with Jesus, that when I take that risk, because it is a risk to get out and walk up to the front, when I've done that, God has met me. God has met me in a huge way by standing with people saying, will you help me? I want God to do something good in my life. And there's three. The first one is this. There's some people here, the whole idea of growing with Jesus, this is something you feel like you need to re-sign up for. Maybe you need to like recommit yourself to saying, like, I am saying yes to growing with Jesus again. Maybe you feel like you've just like stayed at that same place for a long, long, long time. Like there is growth possible for you. And all, it's a simple thing. All you have to do is just say, God, you're a good, good Father. And through your Son, Jesus, And what he did for me on that cross, his death and his resurrection, I say yes to that. You get to be in charge of my life. You get to be the boss. You get to be the king. It's simple, just a declaration of saying, I say yes to you. You get all of me. And the beautiful thing is when we do that, we get all of him. It's the best deal ever. And so if you're here and that's something you'd like to do, maybe for the first time, but what I felt like God was saying, there's some people here, you just, maybe you feel like, hey, as long as I've known like anything about Jesus, I've known him. But you're like, I need to re-sign up to growth, become a Jesus-looking person. You can do that on your own, or you can do that through up here. The people up here would train how to do that as well. Second thing is this, you just feel tired. You feel dry. You just feel exhausted. The picture I got is someone drinking just like a glass of water, and that Jesus wants to come through his spirit and just replenish your soul, give you what you need to say yes again. And the third one is this, and I mean, I love all of them, but this one, there's people here where, like maybe like Jim, to single him out again, maybe you've been following Jesus a long, long time. You have this precious gift of knowing how to say yes to Jesus. I'm asking people here to commit to disciple, to mentor, to invite other people into that life-giving relationship in the same way you have. And that might be just you saying, hey, you know, I'm going to mentor someone else. It might be I'm going to lead a small group. It might be I'm going to lead like a book group. It might just be I'm going to have friends over and I'm going to talk to them what life with Jesus looks like. But I feel like God just say there's people here where you need to just make that commitment, saying I'm going to lead people into growth and life transformational growth with Jesus. So we're going to worship for a little bit. At any point, you can make your way up. I'd love to connect with you out in the lobby for the after party. Thank you for coming to the Cloquet, and have a great rest of your Sunday.